shy away from a very difficult decision, and we did take time to consider the implications. I think some of that spotlight and some of the pressure to do the right thing, and the SDLP will always do the right thing, needs to be put on the parties who are playing a game of brinkmanship and who are up and down those stairs in Stormont doing press conferences and pulling moves. And I think we will, as we have always been, we will be ready to participate in talks in a completely fulsome fashion. The SDLP is no stranger to facilitating things, to stepping out of our comfort zone to make progress, but we'll also be in the Assembly to run the place and to show that it can be run. There are 108 MLAs, and we don't all need to be down in Stormont House, and what Northern Ireland does need is a wee bit of stability, a wee bit of confidence that everybody won't throw their toys out of the cot, you know, in a couple of months as well. And that's what we'll be doing. We'll be engaging in the talks, and we'll be also doing the job we're paid to do in scrutinising how Northern Ireland is run and making sure it's coherent.
However, you did come in for criticism with regards to your decision yesterday. For example, the leader of the Alliance Party reminding us of John Hume and his courage many years ago, where he was prepared to indeed sacrifice party for the process, and the Alliance leader suggesting that the SDLP are now sacrificing what's been achieved for party gain.
Oh, well, I think that is a statement that has no credibility. And like I say, we won't take any lessons from the Alliance Party yesterday and the days leading up to it were brinkmanship and, you know, knife point politics from the DUP. David Ford, with respect to him, was on the radio yesterday admitting he had no idea what the latest moves that the DUP were going to pull, but he went along with it. Now, if we thought the adjournment and was the solution, of course we would have facilitated that, but it certainly wasn't the answer. No one has explained logically and coherently what difference it's going to make, and I think our decision has been roundly vindicated by particularly the fact that the Secretary of State agreed that there's no grounds on which to collapse the Assembly. There's no grounds on which to stop running the place. If we, again, I go back to normality, we're in our third decade of processing the peace here. There's young people going off to university or starting their first job who've never been in a Northern Ireland where normal politics was done. And if people are deciding whether they're going to make their life here or whether they're going to invest here, another up-down tantrum in the Assembly isn't going to help them. So by all means, let's talk, let's get those issues out there. And, you know, we haven't been behind the door about tackling paramilitarism. I agree that it's one of the major cancers in our society that needs to be addressed. We've never bought Sinn Féin denials. We've never written their reference. You know, we have been on at the authorities ad nauseum about going after the half a billion of assets that we know the IRA had 10 years ago. You know, we're not shirking from those things, but we do want a bit of consistency from unionism, who are suddenly pretending it was a surprise that the IRA existed. We didn't hear their kind of outrage when murders of people like Paul Quinn and Robert McCarty, and we don't hear their outrage about the continuing command structures of the UVF and the UDA. So let's all get in, let's have those talks, let's finally remove the wound that is paramilitarism here, but let's also show that we can run the place at the same time.
Now, there's no doubt the politicians are on an election footing. So when you're on the doorstep, you're obviously saying the SDLP clearly do believe the IRA does exist. When you're on the doorstep in a nationalist or Republican area, are you saying to the potential voter that a vote for Sinn Féin is a vote for the IRA?
Buy into, you know, nationalist areas, Republican areas. I'm glad to represent South Belfast. That is a paradigm for the rest of the place, that people live side by side. And I don't, you know, we don't tailor our message depending on whose door.
Well, regardless of where you're standing, do you say that a vote for Sinn Féin is a vote for the IRA?
Well, I mean, I don't. I'm and my colleagues, we're selling ourselves on our merit. We're selling ourselves on the fact that the SDLP has been entirely consistent and has never gone in for the secret side deals. It's never, you know, gone in for party advantage over the process and over people. And that's what I'm selling. I'm not about making cases for or against other parties or other candidates. But what we have said is what you see is what you get for the SDLP. When we have been in a position to deliver, we have delivered for people. And if you go back to when the SDLP was driving the institutions, there was a more genuine engagement. There was that generosity of spirit, and that's what you'll get again. Quite simply, it's not working for people here. The parties that had to be dragged kicking and screaming into sharing power and into working together clearly don't have a lot of enthusiasm for it. Worryingly, it feels like they've got a bit sick of it. They're using words like dissatisfied with the Assembly, but you know, it's not good enough for people. So we're about selling our own vision. We're not about protecting Sinn Féin or protecting the DUP. We're about protecting the institution and the concept of power sharing and the concept of a shared future and the concept of proving that this place can work regardless of its constitutional status.
Absolutely, and I hear everything you're saying, but you still didn't answer the question. Do you see any difference between the IRA and Sinn Féin?
There clearly are differences, and I think there clearly are people within that party who are entirely committed to peaceful and democratic means, but I don't personally believe there is any case whatsoever for an organisation like the IRA or an organisation like the UVF or an organisation like the UDA to exist. All the things that we're told the IRA exists to do, you know, 10 graves and you know, there's no reason that people can't do that within a purely political organisation. I don't believe it ever had any justification for existing, and I certainly don't think it should now. And like I say, you know, very, very credible reports 10 years ago talked about up to €500 million in assets for the IRA. Where are they now? Have they been privatised? What hands are they in? And if there are structures that exist to manage that vast wealth, then there are structures that exist to manage other things. And, you know, 20 years on past the ceasefire, there's no justification. So people, I don't vote for Sinn Féin. People who vote for Sinn Féin will have their own reasons, and they have to look at the consequences of those reasons. But, you know, people who voted for Sinn Féin and the DUP, you can see clearly what it's delivering for you.
How did you feel about the suggestion last night from the acting First Minister, I have to get the term correct, the acting First Minister, that the SDLP possibly could have renegade ministers?
Well, I think, you know, the party leader, the former First Minister, made it quite clear that he doesn't trust nationalists to go to the shop for him either. I thought it was a pretty embarrassing statement to basically say that Arlene was there to make sure we didn't spend all the money on rosary beads and going to Lourdes or whatever. And I think there was clearly a sectarian tilt in that. I think, you know, Arlene Foster has been a credible minister in her previous role, but I think it's outrageous really to suggest that she will be there to police nationalists. The fact is, I don't want an executive without unionists. We want them there. You know, we're committed to power sharing, and I want everybody with a mandate to have representation in that executive. But I think that sort of dog whistle politics, where you send out a message to the more extreme elements of your electorate, helps nobody.
Those who are observing at the moment and commentating and indeed contributing even via social media see in unionism circles Mike Nesbitt and the Ulster Unionists having made some progress against the DUP. But on an election footing, as all of you are, the SDLP, surely you're in a very difficult place, because you don't seem to have made any progress, where Sinn Féin is arguing that at the moment it's been shot at from all angles.
Well, I think if people or parties or party supporters are sitting back and patting themselves in the back for scoring a point off another political party, they need to have a think about what the implications are for the rest of us. And I mean, you know, the rest of us as a population and the people. Again, I mean, we've discussed this before, Frank. I don't see, you know, that my competition is Sinn Féin and Sinn Féin only. I think we're past the stage where people should have to, you know, only vote on their community background, only vote on their constitutional aspiration. What we're offering to people is a fulsome commitment. We've never held anything back. We don't do side deals, to making this place work, proving that it can work, with a long-term aspiration that we can reunite this island on the basis of kind of a firm economic footing and a shared future. And that's what you'll get for us. It's not really about scoring points off other parties. I think we're actually past that, and I think it hasn't been a system that's worked well for people.
Yeah, you turned your back on the Irish government yesterday. You may need their support at some time in the future. Could that be a rocky relationship?
Well, again, you know, the arguments presented by the Irish government, there was no coherent strategy presented by the DUP. And again, maybe if the DUP had been honest about what they were trying to achieve, maybe if we'd had any confidence whatsoever that they intended to use an adjournment in a constructive fashion, we could have been persuaded. But again, the Irish government weren't able in any way to articulate what space would be created, or could they commit to the fact that that talks would be conducted in a fair and open fashion. We just, you know, we didn't make our decision to chin the DUP or chin the Irish government. We made our decision because we thought it was the best thing to do in the context of creating some stability, and in the context of giving people confidence in the institutions, and giving people confidence that we won't keep rewarding the same tactics of brinkmanship.
And finally, which parties do you think will finally be at the talks on Monday?
Followed all the in again out again over, you know, all of it over the last 24 hours. I sincerely hope everybody with a sufficient mandate is there to talk about it. I think history will show us that when some parties are in the room and some parties aren't, it doesn't work, either because, you know, the deal doesn't stick, or the parties who have been excluded or decided to exclude themselves then seem to do their best to wreck whatever agreement is made in their absence. So I sincerely hope at least the five large parties turn up for work on Monday morning, turn up in Stormont House, turn up in Stormont, and turn up with an attitude that they're going to do what they were paid to do.
And finally, do you think that on the subject of being paid for what you were paid to do, considering where we are at the moment, do you think that Mike Nesbitt's suggestion that people don't get paid to sharpen their focus, that would be a positive step to get, as you mentioned, 108 people, 108 MLAs to really think about where we are politically at the moment, because the electorate is rapidly losing faith? Do you think you should be paid?
The electorate rapidly is losing faith. I think what we should do is do our jobs, and then people won't be so concerned about people getting paid. I think it was yet another gimmick and press release politics from Mike to say that. But the fact is, I'm in work today. I'm in work every day this week till late in the evening. I will be on Monday morning. I'll be there to try and move on some of the issues. We're bringing a motion on childcare and a couple of other things. I'll be there in the committees. Doing my job, and I know my colleagues will as well, and I think people will be more understanding of us getting paid if we're there to do our job, and I think that's the way to solve it, and that's the way to restore some confidence. I appreciate people are sick to the teeth, and I'm sure most people aren't even listening to the media today. They're so sick of it. I share that. I'm entirely sick of it as well. I'm only in the Assembly 2 months. I didn't leave my previous career to lounge about or to not do my job. I left it to get involved in politics and try and make things work here, and that's what I intend to do.
Claire Hannah, thanks for speaking to us. Thank you very much. Claire Hannah from the SDLP.